Gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, one of my favorite Bible stories, I suppose for a number of reasons. First and foremost, because it's a story about Jesus, but also it combines two of my favorite activities, fishing and breakfast, in the same story. So I hope you enjoy it as well. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning, of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. May we pray. Father, we thank you for these moments that we have together today. Moments to be in worship, moments to be in prayer, moments to sing the songs of our faith and be reminded of your great love. And so, Lord, we ask that in these moments you might draw near to us as we so desperately seek to draw near to you. Touch us and speak to us. Fill our hearts with your presence, even now as we hear your word proclaimed. This we ask in the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody agreed with the prayer and said, Amen. I have a good friend that I've known for nearly 25 years. He's a school teacher in Pickaway County. Was part of the very first church that I served. And his name is John, and John and I have several things in common, but one of the things John and I spend a lot of time doing, at least in the past, not so much nowadays since life has separated us from living around each other, John and I like to fish together. We like to fish. And I never forget one of the first times John invited me to go fishing. And I said, "Well, what pond are we going to fish?" And he said, "Well, we're not going to a pond today." I said, "Oh, we're going to a bigger lake. Do you have a boat?" He says, "Oh, no boat and no lake. We're going to a stream. We're going to fish in a stream." And I said, "Well, John, where I come from, that's a creek." He understood. And I said, "So we're actually going to get into the water." And that's the first time I was introduced to fishing in a stream. And John said, "That's what we're going to do." And so John encouraged me to get a pair of these. In Well, I borrowed these from another good fisherman in our congregation, Jim Cochran. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not putting these on today because Jim and I are two different size people. But my friend John encouraged me to get a pair of waders. He said that's the best way to fish in a stream. And if you're going to go fishing, he suggested this. And I'll never forget what he said. If you're going to go fishing, you're going to need to go where the fish are. That made a lot of sense to me. Still does. And as we talk continually about the book of Jonah and these fish stories from the Gospels, with the emphasis on evangelism, I think the lesson still applies. If you're going to catch fish, you need to go where the fish are. And if you're going to be fishers of people, according to the lesson of Jesus we've heard already this past series, we need to go where the people are. I hope that these waders today provide just a little visual illustration and metaphor for what it means for us to be engaged in the ministry of evangelism. Today I'm going to encourage you to go fish. I'm not talking about a card game. First thing I want to tell you today is when you go fish, let God be God. Let God be God. There are things that need to happen in this world and in the lives and the hearts of men and women that we can't accomplish without God. It is therefore very important to us that we let God do the heavy lifting in life. I don't know about you, but there are times when I need to be reminded of that. And when I talk about letting God be God, what I'm talking about is understanding the character and the nature of God that we find over and over and over again in the Scriptures about what God delights to do in the lives of people. I believe that God delights in mercy. God delights in mercy. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that today? God delights in mercy. The prophet Micah, chapter 7, verse 18, said this, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy." In Romans chapter 9, verse 15, the Apostle Paul is quoting from the Old Testament as God has spoken to Moses and said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." It's important for us to be reminded today, and even more so for the world to be reminded through us, that God delights in mercy. So as we go fish, let's let God be God. I think Jonah had forgotten about this characteristic of God's personality, that he delights in mercy, because he didn't want to go to Nineveh. As Tim reminded us this morning, God had called Jonah to go to this capital city of Assyria, happened to be the sworn enemies of the Israelites. And that's where God was sending Jonah to proclaim his word. For a Buckeye fan like me, that's like being sent to Ann Arbor. You understand the analogy. I guess it's not football season yet. In chapter 3, we begin by saying this, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. Not only does God delight in mercy, but God is a God of second chances. Jonah was getting a second chance to do what God had asked him to do and go where God had asked him to go. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to it the message I give to you. Jonah got a second chance. In the gospel reading from today, Simon Peter got a second chance. You can have a second chance. Just ask for one. I believe that on any given Sunday morning, our churches are filled with people who are wondering whether or not God is a merciful God, wondering whether or not there's a second chance for them. And that's why it's so vitally important that the gospel gets proclaimed from our pulpits, and the gospel gets proclaimed in our relationships, and the gospel gets proclaimed in our actions, that reminds a world that is separated from God by sin that God is a God of mercy and second chances. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And in 2 Peter 3, 9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Even the Ninevites, even Jonah, even Simon Peter, even me, and even you. Think about all the stories of the scriptures that remind us of the people that God reached out to and offered multiple chances to come to faith, and by the grace of God, they did. King David needed a second chance. Queen Esther needed a second chance. The prodigal son needed a second chance. The apostle Paul needed a second chance. I'm wondering today if you need a second chance in life. If so, let God be God. But don't keep that good news to yourself. Go fish and move out of your comfort zone. We all have a comfort zone, don't we? Of course, I'm talking to people who are sitting in the same pews they sat last week. We all have a comfort zone, don't we? I have a comfort zone. I'm guessing you do as well. But I believe that the God of second chances often calls us to move out of our comfort zones. Sometimes God forces us out of our comfort zones. Jonah had one. Going to Nineveh was the last thing that Jonah wanted to do. In fact, he would prefer to go the opposite direction and board a ship that would be sea-tossed in the midst of a storm, and maybe even have preferred to spend 3 days in the belly of a whale before going to Nineveh. Jonah had a comfort zone. But Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh, and it was there that he proclaimed God's word. 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, granted, it's not the most encouraging message people would ever heard, but implied in the message, and perhaps not shared in the scripture, is a message of God's mercy. And the Ninevites responded. The last people on earth that Jonah thought would respond to God responded. From the least to the greatest, a fast was declared, repentance was practiced. Even the king issued a decree calling on all to return to the Lord. Jonah had a comfort zone. And I wonder what would have happened had Jonah not left that comfort zone. Jesus' first disciples had a comfort zone. They had witnessed Jesus' crucifixion. They had met him after his resurrection. And yet still, in the midst of all that was going on, they decided to return to what they knew. I'm going fishing, Simon Peter said. And six other disciples said, we'll go with you. Nothing wrong with that. We all have a tendency to return to what we know. What's your comfort zone? Maybe a better question is this: how do we get outside of that comfort zone? Well, think of it this way. Moving out of your comfort zone is a lot like getting into the water. This is the season where people like to spend time by swimming pools. And perhaps you've been in a swimming pool recently. are really two ways to get into a swimming pool. One is to enter gradually, to dip your toe in the water, to realize that maybe it's just a little too cool for your taste, and then to go in a little deeper, and then a little deeper, and finally to go in all the way. And of course, you know the other way to get into a swimming pool, don't you? It's called a cannonball. To just go and jump. I would suggest to you today that evangelism can take both forms. We can leave our comfort zones of sharing God's love and grace with others gradually, or we can just jump in and do it. Here are two suggestions for leaving your comfort zone when it comes to evangelism. Start with prayer. Ask God to lay a name of someone on your heart. Someone who needs to hear about God's mercy. About a God who offers second chances. In fact, I would encourage you to ask for more than one name. Someone had suggested to me one time creating a top 10 list. It's not a bad idea. To give thoughts to the people that I know, perhaps my neighbors, perhaps acquaintances, perhaps someone who serves me at my local grocery store, whom I can build relationship with, somehow, some way, share with them the good news of God's mercy. I can begin by praying for them, praying that God would change their hearts and open to them a receptivity to His goodness. And of course, to let God be God and do the heavy lifting. And the second suggestion I would give to you today beyond prayer is seek opportunities. Seek opportunities to serve those individuals, to encourage them, and perhaps even to share with them what God has done for you. You might be surprised what the outcome might be. You know, as I've talked to people in recent weeks about this topic of evangelism, it seems that there are two great fears that emerge. One is the fear of rejection. We don't want to be made to look like fools, especially with people that we know and love. And the second objection is the fear of saying the wrong thing. I get that. I really do. But trust me when I say this, God does the heavy lifting. So I invite you today to go fish and embrace a calling that might take you beyond the world that you know, beyond your comfort zone, beyond what you're accustomed to. I can speak on experience that God will indeed surprise you with His goodness. He'll surprise you with His capacity to do the heavy lifting. And He'll surprise you of how He has already been at work in a person's heart. And sometimes all that is needed is someone like you to come along and confirm in that person what God is already doing. You see, long before Jonah ever got to Nineveh, God was already there. I love how it says in verse 5, after Jonah preached his message, it simply says the Ninevites believed God. It doesn't say they believed Jonah. It said they believed God. God has an opportunity to surprise us when we step outside of those comfort zones and embrace that calling that will take us beyond the world that we know. And the Bible has a word for these surprises. They're called blessings. That's what a blessing is. It's a surprise from God. When we are willing to take a risk, to trust God, to go where He sends us, to do what He calls us, even say what he tells us to say, I believe there are undiscovered blessings that just await us. People to meet, relationships to build, miracles to experience. And so there are Simon Peter and the other disciples fishing all night long and catching nothing. When the stranger on the shore hollers out to them and says, "Haven't you caught any fish? Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." It dawned on me this week as I was studying this passage with some of my friends here at this church that we never find a story in the New Testament of Simon Peter catching fish unless Jesus is present. Every other time, he strikes out. But when Jesus is present, and when Simon Peter does what Jesus has asked him to do, it seems like there's always a miraculous catch that follows. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, friends, but I can put two and two together on that story. I met Mike. About 22 years ago. Mike never came to the church that I serve, but his sister did. And Mike's sister approached me one Sunday morning and asked if I would visit her brother in the hospital. He had lung cancer. And so I did. Mike and I visited. I learned about his situation and learned very quickly that he was fearful of prognosis. We chatted for a few moments, and I asked if I could pray with him, and he allowed me to. And I said, "Can I come back and see you soon?" And he said, "Please do." Later in the week, I was in that area again, and I stopped by the hospital to see Mike, and we chatted some more. And within just a few moments of our conversation, he broke down and cried. And I said, "Mike, tell me what's going on in your heart." He didn't have the words. And the Holy Spirit prompted me at that moment to ask Mike a question. I said, "Mike, do you know how to get to heaven?" Through his tears, he shook his head no. And then was able to say something to the effect of, "I've done a lot of nasty things in my life." I said, "Well, Mike, if we had to get to heaven by being good, our dogs would get there before we would." That seemed to resonate with him because he chuckled like you did. And it was in that time, in that hospital room, that I was able to share with Mike God's plan of salvation, that Jesus came to save us from our nastiness, to forgive us of our sin. That the God who delights in mercy offers a second chance. And I asked Mike if he wanted that for himself, and he shook his head yes. So we prayed together, and Mike invited Christ into his life. And I don't know who was more blessed that day, Mike or me. I suppose that's what happens when you're willing to go fish, to let God be God, to move out of our comfort zone and embrace a calling that just might take you beyond the world that you know. Don't believe me? Get in the water. It's where the fish are. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the story of salvation that's contained in your holy word. And thank you for the real life examples of people just like us who were often reluctant to share your good news with the world. Remind us today, Lord, that there's always a second chance to do the right thing. Always a second chance to go and do what you've called us to do and say what you've called us to say. Prompt us this week, O God, to take advantage of those second chances, to live in your mercy, and share your blessings with the world. Help us to trust you, O God, to do the heavy lifting. And let us not be surprised when you offer more blessings than we can contain. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.